All right, guys, we are going to go to Romans this evening. So if you have your Bibles, you remember that book? Do you remember Romans? Yeah? You guys alive? Okay. There it is, Romans 12. I was going to surprise you, but Dylan was on it. I told you we would be back there this year, so I'm trying to stick to my word. I use these bookmarks. I should use them right. They're in here. All right, we're going to jump in. Let's read this and pray for God to give us what he wants us to have this evening. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the constancy and the faithfulness that you show us through it. God, that you always have something to say. And you want to meet us right where we are. And so, God, I ask by your Holy Spirit that you would do that this evening in a way that none of us could do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. A few things. If you are new with us in 2020, welcome back. Glad to have you. That probably means you are jumping back into school and other things. Last week I was untethered and I'm having a hard time going back. I just kind of move this way a little bit, I think. If you haven't already, I would encourage you to listen to the messages from previous weeks of this year. Some important stuff has been shared already. At least I think so. We've been talking about specifically hearing from God for a new year. And I think that's important any time, but especially as we turn the page and as we undoubtedly have things in our heart that we are desiring and want to accomplish and are looking forward to and looking ahead towards and processing things past, I think it's so vital that we're our ears are keen to what God is saying and sensitive to what he's saying, so that we don't move ahead into, you know, course correcting and planning and trying to make an impact without first being grounded and rooted in what the Lord wants to say specifically to each of us. So I want to invite you to listen to that. That was a little synopsis. And I would encourage you to, if you haven't already, to be in the process of doing that, taking some time, setting some time aside to specifically listen and ask those questions. Last week, we were just getting back from a leaders retreat We took Saturday as a leadership team to do some of that specifically for the light. And it was a really encouraging time. Big surprise, God really spoke in the middle of that. And we had a chance to share some of that last Sunday. And so if you weren't here, it was kind of a unique time where we got to hear from each of our leadership team, specifically six words for this year that we felt like are really relevant to what God is doing and wants to continue to do. So check that out. Tonight is kind of continuing in some of that. I talked about a couple of weeks ago and shared about it a little bit last week, and this kind of goes to what we're going to be covering in home group, this thing, this sermon, really this idea of each of us getting a sense of where God would have us. His desire, his design, his will for our lives. So that we could live right in the middle of that. And I don't think that's like this tightrope. I think it's actually a pretty wide space. And there's a lot of things to that, but I think for sure there was a place that you're meant to occupy that no one else can or is designed to. And we can say that about every person in this room. And I think it's part of what Paul is getting at the beginning of Romans 12. And I mentioned let's just back up one verse to verse 2. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. And I talked about conformity. Conformity often doesn't just look like trying to be like the world, but it's just, in broad sense, trying to be like somebody else. Trying to be like someone other than who you are, who God created you to be. But this is what it says. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the outcome of that is really interesting and powerful. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So God has a will, and we get to be let in on it. You can know what God's will is. And I think actually that's broader than, you know, the question, what is God's will for my life? It's what is God's desire? What is his, what is he about? What is he after? But inside of that is certainly a place where you fit. And that question, what is God's will for my life, is certainly under the umbrella of what is God's will? What does God want? What is he about? And so part of that is certainly you learning what he is like, how he's created you to be, and then with that, what he's created you to do. Because it says in Ephesians that he's created us for good works, which he's prepared in advance for us. They're just waiting. They're waiting. And I think they're unique. Those things are unique to each one of us. So that's kind of the backdrop of what we read tonight and we're going to focus on. But I said this a couple weeks ago, this question of what would it look like if each one of us was walking right in the middle of what God desires and what he's designed and purposed for us this year. How amazing would that be? How powerful would that be? What would come of that that hasn't happened already? And I think this next part is a continuation of that. And it has to do with specifically the gifts that he's given us. Everybody say gifts.
Yes.
Good. And I want to kind of paint this picture along those same lines. What if everyone in this room this year, by the end of it, was walking more fully in the gifts that God has either already given you or wants to give you. What would the outcome of that be? That's kind of a rhetorical question, but I want to kind of create a space there for us to think about. And certainly, we could say that if that were to happen, let's just say when. Let's just say when that happens. Certainly, God will be glorified. People will be blessed. And there will be a greater impact than already exists. So that would be good. Those would be good things, right? And if we just kind of expanded that outwards and we thought about the church in our city and that same thing happening citywide, Church of Baltimore wide, we could just say the same things, but exponential. We could use that, I think. So let's read this next part, because I think it gives us some good advice, counsel, wisdom on those gifts, what to do with them, how we're supposed to use them, etc. Well, I read it already, right? But let's hone in on a few things. The first is a first bit of advice here. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Which is to say, what? I think that sort of indicates that perhaps the tendency of people, humanity, is to want to make more of ourselves than is really the case. Maybe out of insecurity, maybe out of pure personal conviction and belief. Could be a lot of things. But this is what he says and says. He says, rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, or another translation says sound judgment. Say sound judgment.
Sound judgment.
Sound judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So I want to talk about that sound judgment, specifically as it relates to us operating in the gifts that God has given us, because that's the context here. The context is God's people operating in the gifts that he's given them appropriately, according to his desire, his plans, and purposes. Let's go back to that phrase, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Now, this one is interesting. You want to know why it's interesting? Listen, there are lots of environments that will help you with that. Do you know what I mean by that? There are a lot of places that will supposedly help you with that. There are a lot of churches that will help you with that. I don't know about you, but kind of grew up in a church environment that taught and perpetuated this idea that we need to help each other stay humble. But what that looked like was a void of words of affirmation. Encouragement, oftentimes, even praise, related to the work of God in each other's lives. That's weird. I don't know if you were around any of that, or that was a culture that you grew up in, or maybe even think is still meant to be the norm. But, and then when you hear verses like this, it would seem to kind of emphasize or affirm that. But I want to suggest that's actually not the correct application of don't think of yourself too highly. Certainly there is the tendency, the possibility to become arrogant or conceited. And that's not good. And I think certainly that's part of what he's saying here. But when you look at the way Jesus treated these lowly fishermen, would you say that he brought them down or he lifted them up? I would suggest the latter. And when you think about the gospel and who we've become because of what that man did, and what God says to us about how he feels towards us, the bar is pretty high. So either this is contradicting that, or it means something different. What I mean by that is, ultimately, I want to think the way God thinks about me. And you should too. That's called agreeing with the truth. And the sound judgment, which is what he says to practice, would, I would suggest, be that. Sound judgment, meaning with all of the facts in mind, with a clear understanding of the information. Like that's why God is the one who judges, because he's the one who actually has all of the information and is able to judge rightly. So he's saying, I want you to judge with the facts in mind. And for us, the facts, the truth, is rooted in God. It has to be rooted in God. So as you are processing this thought of being, not thinking of yourselves more highly than you ought, I want to add to that, to complicate it just a little bit, the fact that God thinks very highly of you. Do you believe me? God thinks very highly of you. And Jesus at the cross is proof of that. Like what my wife said already tonight is reinforced in the gospel, that you're worth something. That's what the gospel is telling us. You are not just worth something, you're worth everything to God. That's what we find in the sacrifice of Jesus, the declaration that each one of us is worth saving, worth redeeming, worth restoring. So God thinks very highly of you already. So what does it mean to not think too highly of ourselves? I would suggest it's not, we can't think more highly than God does of us already. Actually, we're trying to get closer to God's perspective of who we are in him already. Letting his love rest and remain and receive it for what it is, and then actually loving ourselves accordingly in the same manner, loving other people in the same manner. So what does it mean? Think about that for a second. I'm out. Thank you. A few things, all right? I want to suggest that it's not minimizing who you are. And it's not minimizing what God is doing in your life, what God has given you already. It's about understanding who it comes from and who it's for. Let me say that again. Get some water. Thinking of yourselves, not thinking of yourselves too highly, isn't about minimizing what God is doing in your life or who you are in Him. In fact, what I just said is I think we need to actually grow to believe to a greater degree that what He's actually done and who we are in Him and what He says about us is actually true. So this isn't counteracting that. That's a different thing that we need to do the opposite. We need to reinforce and call higher each other as the body of Christ. And we could just roll that right on out the door to the world around us so that the words we say to the people around us actually affirm the image of God that is in everybody. That people matter to Him. That the same God that died for you and me died for every single person. So if it's not that, I would suggest that it's instead acknowledging who it comes from and who it's for. Specifically, our gifts. Who our gifts come from and who our gifts are for. Paul, at the beginning of this, says, by the grace given me. By the grace given me. And then that same word, grace, shows up again. He says in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. Say grace.
Grace.
Grace is really important to not thinking, or let's just say, to thinking the right way about what you have, about what you carry, about what you're meant to grow in. Grace is embedded in the word gift. Grace is embedded in the gift. I mean, we say the word so much, maybe we forget its meaning, but very simply, a gift is something given to you that you didn't earn and oftentimes didn't ask for. So whatever we have that's of worth falls in those lines. It's a gift from God by His grace. And so not thinking too highly of ourselves is not minimizing what, in fact, God Himself is doing in our lives, but it's actually acknowledging that it's Him. And that should actually humble you. It doesn't produce a false humility, which says, oh, I'm just this. I'm nothing special. Just human, yada, yada, yada. No, it actually puts the credit where the credit is due. It points to the one who has started that work in the first place. It points to the one who gave that gift in the first place. So not thinking about ourselves more highly than we ought is to be rooted in the one who is doing the work. And making sure that our hearts are responding appropriately, which would be to have hearts of gratitude. Hearts of thanksgiving. humble hearts, because we realize, I didn't produce this. This wasn't my idea. And yet, here we are. And yet, it's happening. As capable people, I don't want to call you out of that. But I want to call you to have that rooted in God. In fact, I want to call you to more in God, in what He's given you. Because I think we're just scratching the surface. And in fact, when I think we realize it's all from Him and it's all for Him, then we can begin to cooperate with Him like never before. To dream with Him like never before. To be used by Him like never before. And that's my desire. That's what I think is in God's heart for His people. So I want to encourage us to be rooted in where it comes from. It comes from Him, and how we got it. We got it as a gift. You know, when we have something for long enough, sometimes we forget those things. Or we start to think that there was a reason that He picked me for this. You're special, but that's not why He gave it to you, because you're special in that way. You're special to Him in the same way everyone else is special to Him, if that makes sense. So don't think that you got the gift because you're special to Him in a way that everyone else isn't. Are you with me? That's easy. That's easy to come by. We can think I'm special without thinking I'm special in that way. So let's go on. What does He say next? Not just who it comes from and how it comes, which is by His grace, but who it's for. Who is the gift for? Who are the gifts for? Oftentimes, the gifts are for us. What I mean by that is oftentimes, just on a simple level, we're not even talking about spiritual gifts, but just things that we're good at. Things we were born with, seemingly. We often are thinking about how to use those things for our own benefit. But in the kingdom of God and in the family of God, what Paul is reminding us is that the things that God has given us, they're not for us primarily, they're for everyone else. They're for everyone else. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, right? This is what he says actually right before that, in verse 5. So in Christ, though many form one, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. This is really talking about motivation. Who it's for. What we've been given isn't for ourselves. It's not for pushing forward our name or our career, or just getting what we need. It's to serve. So part of not thinking more highly than we ought is looking at what we have, and not only seeing where it came from, but remembering who it's for. It's for the people around us. So they would be blessed through us. That might seem simple. And this is what I want to say about that. I think it can work two ways. I think it can work not only with us, maybe pursuing those things for our own promotion, our own benefit, But it could also look like not pursuing those things. And either way, people miss out. You with me? Either way, people miss out. And so going back to the not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, I always say we also need to make sure we're not thinking of ourselves more lowly than we ought. And I think there's something there for each of us, which is, it's not just with our gifts, making sure we're not using them for selfish gain. I think it's also making sure we're using them. You guys hear me? See, and this is part of the reason I actually think we need to continue to grow in our understanding of how God sees us. Because there's some, perhaps even in this room, and certainly in the family of God, who would say, what is it to everyone else if I use my gifts or grow in them or pursue them or not? Are people going to miss out? Are people going to care? And so we don't do something. Or maybe we are too wrapped up in ourselves to give of ourselves to the people around us. So it can either be we don't think we have anything, therefore we don't give. Or maybe we think what we have is for ourselves, therefore we don't give, or we give in the wrong way. Either way, people miss out. God's family misses out, and I would suggest that we miss out as well. Martin Luther, during the Reformation, he really emphasized three specific things. Two of those really got traction. It was the emphasis on by faith alone through grace, and it was also the emphasis on through the word of God, right, and the authority of Scripture. But there was a third thing that was really important to the Reformation. It was the priesthood of all believers. It was this thing that had been sort of hijacked that's part of God's heart and his will and his desire, which is that everyone in the family of God would participate. That everyone in the family of God would not just participate and do something, but would represent him. That's what a priest does. The priest is a go-between to represent God to somebody else. And I want to suggest that even when we're thinking about the gifts, it's not just on a practical level so that something can get done, but there's something of God in you that you are meant to carry and walk in that matters to everyone else in the family. So we need each other in that way. And I know for sure that there are gifts in this room that we haven't seen yet, that are tucked away somewhere. And it might be because you don't think that it matters, but it does. So we want to think of ourselves with sound judgment. And part of the reminder here that is embedded in this as well is that it's not a one-man show. Everyone matters to him. And there's something that everyone brings. And I think if we really believe that, we'll see something beautiful. And I think we already do. Like, we're already walking in this to some degree. But there's more. There's more. I think there's more for our city in this as well. Like, what if God's people across church lines began to depend on each other in this way? What if we lean into each other for the things that one body carries that the other doesn't? What if we started to call out rather than pull down our fellow brothers and sisters, call out and call up each other. Affirm what we see, that they're doing that is of God, right? Not comparing ourselves, but affirming God in them the way that we know He's here. And what if the body in our city did that together? That would be amazing. I want to pray. Let's pray into that as we wrap up. I think both of those things are possible. Both here and in our city and beyond. And God, we thank you. We thank you that you are so kind to us. And that there's much that we're right in the middle of discovering and walking in and growing in, that we just need to confess again that we don't deserve, but God, you give it out of your kindness, and you give it because you love us, and you give it because your plans and your purposes are tremendous. And you're calling us up. You're calling us up to be seated where you are. To see ourselves as you see us. To see each other through your love. And God, I thank you that in your design, in your will, God, you created each of us with something of you. And because of that, God, we each have something to give. And at the same time, you didn't create any one of us with everything. And so, while we each have something to give, we each have something to receive. We each have something that we need of you from the people around us. And God, I pray as the family here, as the light, that we would experience this beautiful ebb and flow of what it means to be the family of God, of both giving of ourselves, giving of you, and receiving of you from each other. Being filled up and pouring out and coming empty and in need and experiencing it. And God, we pray, God, for the church in our city. God, I thank you for the ways that this has already begun to happen. And God, we pray for more of it. And we pray, God, that you would continue to remove barriers and boundaries and lines that you never put up and never intended to be there, so that your church would be one. Thank you for all that you're doing, God. Thank you for all that's to come. Thank you for your grace that's in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.